Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. Hello, everyone. My name is Josh. I'm a worshiper. I stole that from Brother Littles, as you would probably know if he said that and you've listened to him. And I've heard him say it every time. And I really, really believe that because I was the guy that didn't want to do praise and worship. I was like, man, just skip to the sermon. I want to hear what's going on with the preacher. I want to know what's going on. And when I started coming down to the altar and praising God, my life started to change. It was just amazing, like the difference that made in me. It can make the same difference in you. First of all, I just want to thank my pastor, Pastor Roy, my pastor, Brother Caskey, Brother Jerry, thank you. John Brunker, Glenn Rossing. I mean, there's been so many people that have made a huge impact on my life. My wife, she completes me. And she deals with my shenanigans. Thank you, dear. I say that to say this, church. If you have a calling, or if you feel like God is calling you to something, there's somebody in this church that can help you. There's somebody here in every single pew that can help you study something out, that can help you get the answers that you seek. You are not alone. If you don't mind, we're going to go to the Word. Matthew 11. Chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14. We're going to read all those before we sit. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Chapter 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear Jesus, I just come to you tonight, Lord. Lord, I just pray that right now that I can lean on you, Lord Jesus, and you'll make my burden light, Lord Jesus, even though the burden is heavy, Lord Jesus, by just being up here, Lord. Lord, I pray for every single person in this place, Lord. I pray that you just help them to just get something out of the message that you have for them tonight, Lord, and the message that you have for me, Jesus. I just pray that you put a blessing upon everyone here, Lord, and just fill this entire place with your spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Before you sit, can you look to your right and you tell that person to your right, it is so good to see you here tonight. And then look to your left and you just tell them to, hey, buckle up because it's going to be a ride tonight. And you may be seated. So this world is so fast-paced, it's crazy. You know, the times that you feel weary and burdened, and most likely every day for most of us, I know I feel the stress sometimes, and I know everyone else does that I come in contact with. However, like I mentioned, you're surrounded by people with Bible knowledge in this church, that there's many churches that don't have that. It is just amazing the knowledge that's all just bundled up here. Learn from them and lean on them. Listen to them. Because they've got, all they have is love in their heart for you. And I know this firsthand. If you got a question about anything, somebody here can help you. I mean, just look at the outreaches that this church has been a part of. I'm going to probably miss a couple, but we got Deerfield, we got McFarland, DeForest, Waterloo, Stoughton. There's so many things that we're doing to keep outreach going at it and trying to just get churches planted. And I mean, it's just amazing what's going on. I can't forget Janesville. You know, that's my favorite one. I mean, the rest of them are good, but Janesville is by far the best. I mean, just saying. We're averaging 35 to 40 people a week. Praise the Lord. We couldn't have done it without you guys. Every single one of you played an impact on that. And it is just, it brings tears to my eyes. There's nothing like having your own building. I can tell you that. Thank you so much for giving Janesville the building. We can actually plan out a whole year now in advance and not have to worry about, you know, what are the, I think there were Catholics that we were renting from before. What are they thinking? Like, can we have the church for this time or this time? I mean, it's just awesome that nobody can tell us what we can and can't do. I mean, except, you know, Pastor Roy, of course. But, you know, but besides that, it's just so nice to have a place that we can call home. And then we can invite people to our home anytime that we need. So in Janesville, I started doing this thing, maybe a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. But I would say, our God is so great. And then the congregation would say, how great is he? You know, it's kind of fun. You guys don't mind trying that with me tonight? So our God is so great.
How great is he?
Wait, hold on. One more time. Our God is so great. He is so great that he took 6 days and put everything into existence that you can possibly fathom, and then he rested on that seventh day. Is that amazing or what? All right, one more time. Our God is so great. He can walk on water without any kind of watercraft. You know, that's pretty cool, pretty sweet, huh? All right, I'm just kidding. We could do that all night. Like, that's something that you could literally just go on and on and on and on about how great our God is. So if we go back to the scripture a little bit where we started, Jesus offers everyone who is weary to come with him and learn from him how to live life to the fullest. It doesn't matter where you're at in your life or what you have going on, Jesus can teach you something, whether you're just starting out or whether you've been following Jesus your entire life. A couple weeks back, Pastor Peter said something about doing nothing and just letting God have it. And just, you don't always have to do everything. God is in control to an extent. He's not controlling everything that you do. But God's in control of everything else. He's got the master plan. And that was just so good because we do need to just let go sometimes and just let God take over. Proverbs 23:26. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. And one of my favorites, and you know, Jordan got me turned on to this one, for Proverbs 3:5-6, it's preached about all the time. It's just so hard to not go to this verse, but these verses. I mean, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So what does this mean? Not lean on my own understanding. Humble myself under the mighty hand of God. Let him exalt me. Give him my heart. All of this means is give up control. It all says the same thing. Give up control. Give yourself to God's will in your life. God doesn't control you. He gave the control to you. He could control you. He's the Almighty. But he wants you to willfully submit to him. Submit to his word. Submit to him in prayer. While this helps you, it also is extremely important to take everyone else with us. He's going to direct your path to discipleship. This is what we are coming kind of full circle to with letting God take control. But there is the program here at CGC when I came into the church was pretty sweet. And I'm going to kind of talk about this program throughout the message a little bit. But here's how it works. Brad Top, I love you, brother. This man, his wife, Britt, seen my daughter Stella running outside. No, I'm just kidding. But and started the conversation with her and got in with my wife, and she asked her to go to church. You know, she stepped out in her in faith and wanted to spread the gospel. This was like 8, 9 years ago. All right, right? Maybe 10. Time flies when you're having fun, right? I don't know exactly how it went, but Britt wanted to spread the gospel. Matthew 28:19, I'm sure most of you know this one, but go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And for you that may not know this verse exactly, I mean, Jesus was preaching to his disciples his last command, some of his last commands, up on the mountain. You see, Jesus could have done absolutely anything at this point. He could have just taken everyone home. He could have just ended the world as we know it right then and there and took his disciples up to home. He could have ended all the hurt, all the pain, all the anxiety, all the suffering. He could have just ended it right then and there. He could have just stopped it. He just spent his entire life going through all of those pains being human. He battled all of the things that we battle. He fought temptation. He fought lust. He fought the devil. He fought gluttony, jealousy, envy, greed. He put himself in a human form and fought everything that we fight every day. And he won. He proved that it could be done. He was the walking, living God in human form. Sinless lamb that was slain after all the things that he battled. He won the battle of all the sins. Like, there was just nothing that could penetrate this man, this God, Jesus. Nothing. He wouldn't turn his way at all. Or he wouldn't turn to the bad way at all. He did not fault one time. And you might ask yourself how or why. And that's just because he loved you. Every single one of you. So here we are. Jesus just came up out of the grave. And what does he do? He tells his disciples that they need to go and teach all the nations. They need to go and make more disciples. You're all here in this building, in this pew, because of what those disciples did. I'm here standing here because of those disciples. Well, because of Jesus, but if they wouldn't have listened and did what they were supposed to do, none of this would be here right now. All those disciples took that to the grave. All of them except John, I believe, was crucified, beheaded, stabbed, flayed, sawn in half for what they believed. They were willing to take what they saw and knew from their time that they spent with Jesus all the way to their end. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So my wife and I were living in sin when Britt asked her to come to church. I drank regularly. I enjoyed a couple beers every day, and on the weekends I'd go out. Sometimes we'd go out, and I mean, not always. That was more for my younger days. And we both smoked and drank. I mean, we met in a bar before we ever, you know, got married, of course, obviously. My wife said that, hey, some lady asked me to go to church. I'm like, okay, sweet. We had talked about church throughout our marriage every once in a while. Like, we really need to try this. We both had gone to church throughout our childhood briefly, but definitely fell away. And I don't think she knew what she was getting herself into. I can tell you that. But it was right before Summer Fun Fest that year, and she was either going to be going the week before, or she was invited to Summer Fun Fest, but I think she was going the week before was the first time she was going to go. At the time, I was working at Ashley Furniture. I was a sales manager there, and I worked every Sunday till like 6, and then I closed the store. And that Sunday that she went, I felt my phone going off in my pocket several times while I was with the customer. And I finished up the sale, and I looked at my phone, and I got like 3 missed calls from my wife. And usually that doesn't mean much. I mean, she calls, I'm just kidding. Usually that means I better call her back right now, or something is happening, and it's insane. And I called her back, and she asked me to get off of work early. And I'm like, for what? She's like, I want you to come and watch me get baptized. She just received the Holy Ghost. I started bawling right there on the sales floor. Like just tears coming down, because I knew what that meant. When I was 12, I went to a church camp that they were slaying kids in the Holy Ghost, and I like fought with God on, give me the Holy Ghost, like I really need this, and then he didn't give it to me, so I just cursed God, and I just backslid for basically the rest of my life up until this point. And that's a long, whole other story, but I went to my boss's office, and I said, hey, listen, I'm leaving tonight at about 5 o'clock, because I want to get to church at 6, and my wife's going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And he says, well, wait a second, what do you mean? Like, do you mean, can you leave? Right? I'm like, no, I'm leaving at 5 o'clock, all due respect. If it means my job, it means my job, but I'm leaving. Like, that's just how it's going to happen. And he didn't push back at all, like, after I said that. He was like, yeah, no problem, you're going, that's fine. I said, somebody else is going to have to close for me. He said he'd do it. He left me off the hook pretty easily. I met my wife at church. I was on fire that day with sales. Like, everything I touched, I just sold. Like, I remember it was like a ridiculous day, which is really has nothing to do with the scripture or the sermon. But, I mean, I was just on fire. I was so happy for my wife. I was so excited. And I was just happy with everybody that I talked to. So I came to church, and I listened to the message. I have no idea what the message was. All I do remember is after the message, we had altar call. And I came down to the altar, and I was standing right here, and there was a couple guys praying around me, trying to help me get the Holy Ghost, and telling me about it, and talking to me about it. So there I am, standing down here, and I'm just like, Jesus, 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 please, please forgive me. Forgive me for this, forgive me for that, forgive me for this, forgive me for that. It's like, please, Jesus, give me the Holy Ghost. Just fill me up, Lord Jesus. Just fill me up. And then nothing. It was just blank. Like, I was like, maybe there's something wrong with me. You know, I just thought maybe there's just something that I couldn't do. That's what I thought when I was 12. Like, I had that same feeling just kind of hit me again. I'm like, all right, I'm going to try again. All right, dear Jesus, please forgive me. I forgot about this. I forgot about that. That thing I did when I was 15, Lord Jesus, forgive me for that. When I was 12, when I cursed you, forgive me for that, Lord Jesus. I want to be your servant. I want to give you everything. And then nothing again. I was extremely discouraged. I wanted to cry, but I was still trying to like wrap my mind around my wife already got the Holy Ghost. And in a way, I was kind of jealous. Like, my wife got the Holy Ghost, and I didn't. The guy that was praying with me, he's no longer in the church, but he said, just, it's okay. We can try again next time. He was right. Anyway, after the altar call was over, we all went back to the baptismal tank, and we had all my kids and me, and my wife's going under, she's coming back out, and I just had this overwhelming like feeling of joy, like just spread throughout my whole body. And I knew that right then and there, our life was changed forever. Our marriage was on the rocks at that point. It was pretty shaky. I knew that that was what was going to change it. And it did. All of that happened because someone was obeying Jesus' final commandment. I'm only here today because someone wanted to teach all nations. Someone wanted to be a light in our darkness. Someone went out of their way and stepped out of their comfort zone. And they had Jesus give them a hand. Jesus helped Britt that day break through a barrier. I can tell you, my wife is not easy to approach if you don't know her. I mean that in the nicest way. She's just guarded. She's the opposite of me. I'm like, hey, how you doing? She's like, you better be nice to my kids, you know. That's fine. Like I said, she completes me. Sorry, dear. Luke 9:23-27. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. From what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Making disciples and teaching all nations is denying yourself. You got to give that to God because you're not going to do it on your own. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, hey, we got to talk about Jesus if it's comfortable. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that all the stars are going to align and this light's going to shine on this random stranger here and they're going to listen to every word that I say and they're going to come to church. It doesn't happen. My message tonight is really simple. When was the last time that you brought somebody to church? When was the last time that you put yourself in a little bit of an uncomfortable situation to glorify Him? A church this size should have 15 to 20 new people every single week. No exceptions. And I mean that with the utmost respect. I'm preaching to myself too. I don't bring people every week like I should. Our pastor has casted a vision on multiple occasions that he's seen every single seat in this house packed, every single place in that vestibule and beyond just full of people, and everyone was just having a rejoiceful time. That vision was casted, but I can tell you right now, it's not going to just happen on its own. How do you think this can happen? We cannot just go to the altar and expect it to happen, although that is a good thing and that helps. But we can't just pray for it and then boom, it just comes. We, you, me, your entire family, your entire row that you're sitting in has to step out in faith and get a little bit uncomfortable. We want to be ready when Christ comes, right? I can tell you that being ready for Christ is bringing as many people with us that we possibly can. Jesus did not discriminate against anyone. He didn't tell one of the lepers that He didn't want anything to do with them because of his sins. He healed the lepers. He loved them just as much as he loved the regular guys that weren't too bad. Before I continue wrapping up the program that I've been kind of going through, I need a couple volunteers. I promise it'll be fun. One more, Roberto? All right, come on down. This one work too? It says Maine. Perfect. All right, so we're just going to do one at a time, okay? So here's I'm going to set the stage. Are you ready? You're going to hold that. All right? Don't do anything bad with it. All right? Just get ready to mute him. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. All right, so what's going to happen is I'm going to be you, okay? I'm going to be you just for a minute, all right? And what's going to happen is you are one of your best friends that is not in the church, okay? Do you have one? You have a good friend that's not in the church? Or we're going to pretend that you do. But good for you that you don't. I mean, I guess, no, you should have a good friend outside the church also. You should try to get one, all right? Unless they're just all coming. Because if they're all coming, then you did everything you're supposed to do, right? All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to basically explain or give you an example on how you can talk to your friend that may not be in the church. Does that sound okay? You are anti-church, okay? I just want to set that stage, like you're anti-church. You're the guy that's like, I'm not going, all right? So you can be hard on me. And this happens. This absolutely happens. I've tried to get friends to come to church, and it's hard. Like, that's one of the hardest things, I think. And this doesn't always work, but this will at least give you something that you can try or something that you can do. So we're just going to call your name as Max, okay? You're Max. So, Max, I got something I really wanted to ask you, and it's going to really sound a little, I guess, hard, or maybe not like the most, maybe not be the best thing that you really want to do. This Sunday, would you go to church with me?
Maybe.
Maybe? Yeah. Remember, you don't like church, and you don't want to do that.
No.
No. No. Man, how long have we been friends?
Too long.
too long. That's perfect. You're right. We've been friends for too long because I still haven't got you to go to church with me. No, I'm just kidding. Don't say that. Don't say that. But you know what? I've brought up church several times, right? Like, you've heard me talk about it, right? And then, you know, I maybe have joked with you a few times, like, hey, you should come sometime, right? You've heard me say that. What if I told you that I feel so deep in my soul right now that I feel like God literally told me to ask you to come to church this Sunday? Would you go?
No.
Okay. So we've been friends for so long that if you ask me to do something that's not going against my, you know, against my church, I'd probably do it, right? Like if you said, hey, we're going to go jump some ramp in the jungle or something, like I'd be like, yeah, let's go. I'm just asking you to go to church. One time. And if you don't like it or nothing, you don't ever have to come again. Would you just do that? I mean, maybe you would, maybe you won't.
Maybe.
Perfect. I'll take that. So let's just keep playing these video games. Sound good? All right. Try it, right? You see how that worked? I was super uncomfortable just here, right? I was just like, ugh. What am I going to say? Is this going to make sense? I left my notes up there. But yeah, you can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, Roman, I'm you. All right. Let's get into character here. All right, so we're going in the grocery store, all right? We're in the spaghetti aisle, okay? You like spaghetti, right?
Yes.
Yeah. perfect. So we're just complete strangers, all right? Complete. I got a couple scenarios we're going to run through real quick, all right? All right, so, oh, man, that sauce looks great. Is that what you normally use?
No.
Oh. What sauce do you normally use?
Josh Manez makes my spaghetti sauce for me.
Nice. How much does it cost?
It's free.
It's free? Wow. I got to meet this guy. Sounds like
you got to.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Josh.
Oh. My name's Roman.
Roman. Oh, yeah, I'm Roman. I forgot. Yeah, perfect, whatever. That's fine. I'm Josh. You're Roman. That's some awesome sauce. You know, this is going to sound really awkward, man. Like, do you go to church? Hold on. If you approach a stranger and you invite them to church, the most common thing that I've heard, oh, I'm going to church already. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't know them. They're a stranger, right? But just be ready for that, because it's going to happen. So do you go to church?
Yes, I do.
Sweet. This makes it a little bit easier on me, because if I tell you that I feel like I'm saying something in faith, you kind of understand what I'm saying, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I feel so strong right now in faith that I feel like I was told to come and ask you to come to my church on Sunday. Would you be willing to do that?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's awesome. That was like the best answer that could possibly happen. If only it happens like that every time. I mean, it would just be amazing. Like, it would just be awesome. But all right, let's just go for another one, okay? So you're picking out some sauce again, right? New scenario, I'm Roman, you know, the real way. Get her going. Man, those are some awesome shoes you got there. Are those new?
Nah, they're pretty old.
They're pretty old? Huh. Well, they look pretty good. I thought about getting a pair of those for my son. He wanted some Nikes. I thought that'd be pretty cool. I'm just kidding. I don't normally do this, and I feel really awkward. I was really just trying to break the ice. Your shoes are cool, though. I mean, I know they're not new, but I was really just feeling awkward. And I want to just tell you that I feel like I was just asked by God. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Awesome. I believe in God, too, and I believe that he just asked me to ask you to go to church with me on Sunday. I know it seems a little weird, but, I mean, you could sit somewhere else, or you could sit with me. Like, I just feel like I need to ask you to go to church. Would you do that? Would you be willing to do that? Are you busy Sunday morning?
Yeah, I'm busy.
How about Wednesday?
Not as busy then.
That's perfect. I want to give you our church card and my phone number. Like, can I have your number?
Yeah. Get my number.
Yes. Awesome. Perfect. Thank you, Roman. Thank you. I have no idea if that's going to work. I've not tried it, but I'm going to. I will, too. My kids will watch me. They'll videotape it or something. Like, it's an uncomfortable feeling sometimes. If it's not to you, then you've just done it so many times and you're just comfortable with it now. But that's what happens, is if you keep practicing just a little bit, you keep stepping just a little bit out of your comfort zone and into something that God wants, it's going to get easier every time, like I promise. Who here has a business card on them right now? Two, three? I'm talking about like personal business cards, like your profession. Who's got one? Anyone? Jerry? I would hope so, Pastor Roy. You definitely need that, for sure. Who's got a church business card on them? More people have church business cards. That's awesome. That is awesome. You know where I'm going, right? I don't have my personal business cards on me either, but I don't have my church ones either. But I can tell you what, you should every day. Every single day. Get some church cards before you leave, if we have them. Do we have them? Give them a... Perfect. We need to get some church cards in everybody's hands because we got to have a revival, church. We got to have a revival, and it's not going to happen on its own. We shouldn't have any church cards here to give. They should be in people's hands. That's one easy way to break some ice. We don't have to ride a donkey across the desert to deliver a message, right? How many non-Christians do you have in your phone? A lot, right? I bet like most of us, well, maybe not most of us, I know I have like Probably 95% of them aren't even regular churchgoers in my phone, but I got like a couple thousand contacts, mostly from business. Not because I'm popular, I promise. It's a click away. Send a text message. Hey, thinking of you. Come to church. Try it out. You got nothing to lose. Worst case scenario is they don't talk to you again for a while. Right? That's the worst thing. Or you planted a seed. Right? That mustard seed that we've talked about so many times. The mustard seed is so small, but if you plant it, it grows. And it grows. Now, if we get a little bit back to where I kind of started, this is going to be stepping out of your comfort zone. And remember that you're not in this by yourself. You've got the whole body here to help you. It's not your job to have to disciple them all the way through to being a minister. Or maybe they're never going to be a minister, and that's okay. Let Jesus do the work. Just get them here. That's all you got to do. Just get them to walk in the door and then just check on them, you know, see how they're doing. But just get them here. Get them in the church. I've heard several times, mostly just since I've been in ministry, how do I get my friends to stop living in sin? They live together. They're out of marriage. Or how do I get my boss to stop swearing all the time? Or how do I get somebody to do this or do that? How do I say that in a nice way that they're living wrong? I'm like, what do you mean? That's not your job. You're not the judge. All you got to do is talk about Jesus. That's it. Not, hey, you're living in sin. You need to go to Jesus. It's like, hey, bro, come with me to church on Sunday. Bring your girlfriend, who you live with. I don't care. Or bring your girlfriend. Bring your boyfriend. Whatever, get him to church. Let Jesus do his work in their life. So that is really going to put a little more strain on the rest of us in the body that are going to help minister them. We can't fail these new folks that come in. To get a little bit more back to the program, after we got into church, I believe it was that day, or maybe it was the week after, Brother Hopp came and asked my wife and I if we wanted to have a Bible study. Whew. I'm thinking, man, this is finally, I'm going to ruin this man, you know? I'm going to just ask him every question I could possibly think of to stump him and make him trip. Not that I was anti-God, but I just had a lot of questions. Like, I really just wanted to know, and hopefully this guy can take care of it all. I was really excited. After he won, week after week after week, I was beat up. I mean, really, he did a great job. I put him through the ringer. God was working on me. God was working on me so hard in the background that it was insane. A couple weeks later, I got the Holy Ghost. I couldn't believe it. I waited my whole life for that, I swear. And then I was baptized in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And then there was a little bit of icing on the cake. A couple weeks later, I know you're thinking icing on the cake. There's nothing better, right? Than speaking in tongues and getting the Holy Ghost. But the icing on the cake was Morton Bustard was here. And I'd never heard Morton Bustard preach. And this was a completely different experience than what I had ever witnessed or been involved with. And after the message, we had everybody lined up and he was going through and he was doing this healing thing that he does. If you've never seen it, you got to come and see it sometime. He's so anointed and blessed, it's insane. I mean, the man literally just has got to be in touch with Jesus on a regular basis every single minute of the day, it seems like. But he was going down the rows and, you know, healing people. We were seeing miracles happen. I was standing with my wife right next to her, and I was just praying so hard. Please touch my wife. She was going through some back pains. She was having some other issues going on with her body, and I was saying, just please heal my wife. Please heal my wife. She didn't know this, and she's just now finding out now. But I was just begging Jesus to have Morton touch my wife and just give her the healing that I think she needed. And we were singing and praising. He didn't touch my wife or me right then, anyway. And so then we started singing and praising the Lord, and that's when he was just kind of wandering throughout. And he gets to me, and I've got my hand raised, and he grabs my hand, and he leans over to the next, right on the side of me, and he whispers in my ear, "You're done smoking in Jesus' name." The icing on the cake was, I was a closet smoker. And I know what you're thinking, like closet smokers don't really hide it. Right? Like you pretty much know. But I can tell you, I went through great, great lengths to hide it. I did not smoke Sunday morning. We didn't smoke in our house. We didn't smoke in the car. I did not smell like cigarettes. I might have had that like raspy voice that smokers have. I smoked for 16 years. But I can tell you that he didn't know. He didn't know. He doesn't even remember Peter when he comes through every time. Are you a preacher here? That's what he said last time. Sorry. But he had no idea. My foundation was shaken from there. And if the musicians want to come up. That day, I did smoke again. Tasted like garbage, even more so than, you know, what it did. Even though, as a smoker, you know it doesn't taste good. Sometimes it might, but when you've been smoking for years, it's just, you do it out of habit. And it's so hard to break. A week or so later, I quit with an almost full pack of cigarettes on the top of my dresser. I did go out one more time a couple weeks later for a couple beers with the guys, and I felt so horrible the whole time I was there, I couldn't have fun. God had been working on me that entire time. God planted that seed in me that would not allow myself to enjoy the sinful stuff of the world. Once you know that truth, you're nothing is fun anymore. Like all that stuff I thought was fun, no. Praise Jesus, absolutely. It's been almost 10 years now since I had a cigarette or a beer. It's awesome. Thank you. Let's do a recap. Three things. Three main points tonight. You need to step out in faith. Yoke up with your father. There's nothing that your kids can possibly do to make you not love them, right? You may not want them to live with you sometimes, but you won't stop loving them. And that, your father is never going to stop loving you. Regardless of what you've done, he loves you so much. Number two, after you got him in, get him that Bible study. That's where you really kind of just seal the deal there. Doesn't necessarily have to be you, but you can get them to somebody, right, that can give them a Bible study. See this man right here, Ted? Put your hands up real high. You need a Bible study? Talk to this man and his wife. No, just talk to Carla. That's fine. Ted won't remember. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I wouldn't. And then you just keep pouring in, right? Talk about your good things that are happening. Or talk about the bad. Be like, man, I'm struggling right now. Can you pray with me? And just follow up with that person and just keep following up and following up. Just be a friend. That's it. Just be their friend. Those are the three. Jesus is here tonight. If you wouldn't mind standing with me as we close this out. Jesus is in this building right now. All you gotta do is talk to him. He wants to work in someone right now. Maybe it's one of your friends. Maybe it's you. Can everyone just close your eyes for just a second? I want you to think of three people. One of them is going to be right now. It's going to be a family member. A family member that you have maybe talked to them about Jesus at one point or another, or something about church. And they've kind of pushed you off and said, no, my religion is better, or my church is better. Or my church, I don't know what you believe. That hooting and hollering, that's not for me. Whatever it might be. Get them visualized in your mind right now, whoever that is. And just say their name under your breath. The next one I want you to think about is a friend. Same scenario. They may be going to church, they may not be, but you know that they need Jesus in their life. I want you to just picture them right now and say their name under your breath. Your neighbor does not have to hear. And that third person, that's just Jesus. Because there's somebody that you're going to have to talk to that's a stranger to you. Just like Jesus talked to all those strangers and healed all those strangers and made them all love him. And here we are because of the Jesus stepped out with some strangers. This altar is open and I encourage everyone to come down. Some of you may have some dark, dirty secrets like I did with cigarettes. Or booze, or drugs, or many other things. If you can just leave that at the altar tonight, Jesus will take it and he'll never bother you again with it. Or not that he's going to bother you, I'm sorry. You'll never be bothered again by it if you leave that at the altar. God can break the worst of every habit that's out there. There's no special pill or secrets with Jesus. Come and give it to him. Dear Jesus, I just come to you tonight, Lord.